is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Good morning, everybody. This is Debbie Powell. I'm the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne County. And I'm so lucky. I'm so excited to be talking to Calaveras Master Gardener Sue Hopwood today. Hello, Sue.
Hello. Very nice to be here to talk to you guys.
Yes, yes. And you know what, Sue? I have to admit, we have done now quite a few radio shows, but we've never touched on this topic. And you were so kind to show me what you're doing at your house. And I have to admit, it was really inspiring. And I'm thinking, you know, I have got to try some of this. And that is, you are growing food, all of it, basically in containers.
Yes, it's called a rain gutter system. I don't know, there's probably people out there have heard of it. Larry Hall, I think, came up with this whole idea about 10 years ago.
Okay, but how did you even think about trying to do this? I mean, why did you even want to do container gardening?
I like container gardening just for my flowers. I like to move things around. When I moved to this house about 6 years ago, I dug up everything I owned, put it in containers and brought it. Well, we were going to be adding a garage, we're going to be doing this. So I ended up container gardening for like 3 years. With wow. not intending to. So then I just kind of like it. I like container gardening. I originally had grow boxes. We had them up next to the house. I have a very small piece of property. It's less than a quarter of an acre. I've got a concrete block house, and now we have a big shop. And so there's not a lot of grow space. So I had my little garden tucked up next to the house where it got all the sun it wanted to get. Unfortunately, that's the only place we could put a patio. Okay. So I had seen this rain gutter system and I liked it because I'm not a big fan of drip systems. They're better than they used to be. But it always seems like if I've got it on a timer, it either gets clogged or the timer breaks when I go away for 2 weeks.
Oh, no. And then, of course, you lose all your plants.
Right. Or an animal gets there and rips something out, or something always happened to me. I wasn't real efficient with drip systems. So I saw this system where it's basically a wicking system. I have 2 55-gallon barrels, rain barrels, where you can collect rain. And then I have them ran down to my system, which is a rain gutter. And then I have 5-gallon pots and some decorative pots that sit up on top. And they have a 3-inch net cup in the bottom that goes into the rain gutter where they wick up their water. And I can leave it for like 2 weeks at a time with no fear of losing water.
So essentially, and here was the part that I have to admit, I was confused at the beginning when you used to refer to that you were gardening using rain gutters for a long time. I thought that you were growing plants in the rain gutters, but you're only using the rain gutters as troughs for water for these plants that are wicking it up from the bottom of a 5-gallon container or pot. I mean, well, you've got pails, 5-gallon pail.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them. Mm-hmm. And so now with that, you said it goes into the rain gutter or it comes out of the pot. It's 3 inches and it's netting. What kind of netting is that?
It's called a net pot. I think they use it in drainage or plumbing or something. And it kind of goes into a 3-inch pipe to block debris from going into it. It's plastic. And so you cut like a 2 3/4 inch hole in the bottom of your pot, and then you stuff that down into your pot, and it'll hang below your pot, and you fill it with your medium, and then the water will wick up through there.
So the water, just by the law of physics, I mean, you're not using a pump or anything.
It's just
wicking up into the rest of the pot. So will it, you know, just kind of curious, Sue, does it go all the way up to the top of the container, or does that work?
It does. If you cover the top with, some people will, I use food grade buckets and they come with lids. And some people will cut a hole in the lid and plant a plant through the hole and leave the lid on, so it stays moist all the way to the top. Or when I start seeds, I'll put straw over the top or something. But if you have it uncovered, it's usually about the two inches, maybe 2.5 inches is dry. And then the rest of it wicks up as needed. And the interesting thing about that, as I was really concerned, when it rains, it's just going to flood everything. And it doesn't. It doesn't. Okay. It seems to maintain itself. Now, I do also in my buckets, I cut in 2.5 inch holes in the buckets, kind of place
on
them.
On the side?
On the side. And okay. Then I line the inside of my bucket with a ground weed cloth, and then put my medium into that. And that kind of air prunes the roots so it doesn't get root bound. But also, I'm afraid if we get a big rainstorm or something and it does get overfilled, I'm thinking the water's going to go out. But I have pots with holes and I have pots without holes, and I've not had a problem with either one.
That's interesting. So you don't really notice the difference between the pots with holes in the, because those holes are big. I saw them. They're pretty good size holes.
Yeah, I mean, and I like them. Yeah, I like them because they're decorative. It makes your garden look polka dotted.
It does. So somebody could try doing this without even doing the holes. But if they have a problem, maybe suggested, maybe then go with trying.
Yeah.
To add a little bit more air.
And they don't have, I've got 36 pots. I've got 2 20-foot spans. And someone can get just a small gutter, or they can even get a 4-inch pipe, a PVC pipe, the 4-inch, lock off both ends, put a float in one end and drill holes, and then just use that. They don't even, you know, it's very versatile. Just come up with your own imagination. You just want your water to come in. You want to float at one end so it maintains the water level in the pipe or rain gutter. I like the rain gutter. And just go with it. And you can do this on a small scale. If you've just got, want to do 3 pots, just get a small piece and a float and something to hold your water in, or you could hook your float directly to your water faucet with a timer if you want to. I mean, it's very versatile.
Okay. Let's talk about the soil.
Okay. The soil, the big thing about the soil is it can't be soil.
What?
It's got to be, it's got to be a potting mix so it'll wick. Like if you buy bagged soil, or you can't get your soil from your dirt. Now, the mix I'm using is 2-to-1 on peat moss and either manure, compost, or worm castings. Then I add in a little garden lime and about 12 cups of perlite and a handful of Epsom salt. Now, peat moss, this is a recipe from a long time ago, and peat moss I hear is starting to get a little... People are saying don't buy peat moss or don't use the peat moss because it's going away. So you could use coconut husk.
Oh, okay. And is there another name for coconut husk? I mean, because I remember I was looking at it and there's another name. I just can't think of it right at the moment.
Well, there's like you see the bricks of coconut husk and you don't really want that kind. You want the more fluffy stuff.
The fluffy stuff.
Yeah, you want, you know, good stuff. I don't know how to describe it, but you know, just trial and error, I guess, because I've not used it. Although, not to change gears on you, what I've thought about doing, and I guess they have a food grade or something, coconut husk, for hydroponics. And I've been thinking about turning one of my rows, instead of using soil, I think it's a mixture of coconut husk and perlite. And then you use that same system and do it as hydroponics. And then just feed your plants.
Now, if you did it as hydroponics, does that mean you would have to maybe continually add a little fertilizer so they got some nutrients?
See, and I've never done hydroponics, and I'm kind of like an organic kid, you know, that's why I've got my food grade buckets and stuff like that. And I would have to, that's why I haven't done it, because I need to look into it, because I don't know what they're feeding hydroponics. I don't know anything about hydroponics, but I know this system can be converted to hydroponics super easy. And then you wouldn't have to mess with soil, because I change my soil out about every 3 years.
Oh, okay. Now, this is so fascinating. I think before when we were talking, you had mentioned what the soil should feel like when it's damp, and which is different. In it kind of, weren't you saying it's kind of like a spongy type of feel? Kind of like
Well, it does. You can feel it. It's not dirt. It's not, okay. You know, it's like your bag potting mix.
So, okay.
You can buy a bag like Miracle-Gro bag mix or soil, and there's a little bit of difference. And the soil, I don't know how it's different. And this may be different from when I started this. They may have changed the way they construct this stuff, but it always used to be the soil, any bag soil did not wick well. Because I guess it's got actual soil in it, I'm assuming. Whereas your mixes were more your perlite and your peat moss and things like that, that will wick good. And manure.
Okay. So now with your, did you say you have 36 pots?
Yes.
Or 30? Wow, that's a lot. And when I was there, I noticed it was quite a bit. So what kind of foods have you been growing? I mean, what have you been growing?
I've got an artichoke plant. I've got rhubarb will be coming back. I've grown Swiss chard, broccoli, onions, carrots, tomatoes, peppers. The only thing I would not recommend growing that I've grown, because I've grown a spaghetti squash and the whole thing, but I used to grow on my other garden, I like to grow luffa. And I was never really good at getting a lot of luffa because they always seem to be too late in the season. Well, I didn't have much luck except for growing luffa roots. My whole 20-foot tray, I was like weed eating my luffa roots. So the one thing I would recommend is trying to grow luffa in there. But I grew spaghetti squash. I've grown pumpkin.
Hey, Sue, just kind of curious about the spaghetti squash and the pumpkin, because, you know, those are, you know, really viney. So do you just let them come down to the ground and then take off?
What I've done that two ways, but on my back row, I've got, I guess it's called a hog panel, the big heavy wire. It's about 8 foot long. And I've got stakes on the back of that. And it just backs right up to my pots. And then I did the cute little method of my spaghetti squash and my pumpkins and stuff would grow on that. And then I would take pieces of material or I forget what I used that was real handy, but I'd make like little diapers. The heavy.
Oh, how cute.
The heavy, you know, do something cute and hook it up there, you know, so it doesn't weigh down too much. But I'd also done zucchini. And there's two ways to do the zucchini is I just let it grow over, but you can do this fancy little trellis thing where like as the zucchini grows up, you keep stacking like Lincoln blocks around it and cutting off so your zucchini just keeps going up.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll be darned. That sounds great. Now, Now you had mentioned, do you even start some of your seeds in those pots?
I do carrots in there. I got a little piece of wire, half inch square wire, and I set it down over the top, and I kind of use that for a gauge and try to keep my seeds spread out a little bit. And then I put some straw or something over top to keep it moist, and they grow fine. And that's kind of the bucket for the dog, because my dog loves carrots. So whenever I'm out in the garden, he's over and he's standing by the bucket waiting for me to thin carrots and throw in carrots.
How cute. I'm sure it's very healthy for him.
Yes. But I've not, the tomatoes I tend to prune, because my space in between isn't that far. And I've watched shows where a lot of people keep their tomatoes pruned to get bigger tomatoes, I guess. But I just kind of prune them back so they don't get too wily.
So you don't use a tomato cage?
I do.
You do? But, okay.
I grow cherry tomatoes for snacking in the garden. And my last cherry tomato, I've got that carport rack over top, the tubing, and that's what, 10 foot tall? Cherry tomatoes were up to the top, and they were like all the way over to the other thing. So I'd have to keep them pruned back. And that was in a 5 gallon bucket.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, with all this going on, is this enough produce for you and your husband once it starts developing, or do you still have to buy additional produce?
Well, it's enough for us because my husband is not a big produce eater.
Okay.
I think if someone is a better gardener than me and more efficient at tending to it, the first 2 years I had it, I was right on top of it and doing great. And it was just a big, lush, well-producing thing. This last year, my seed starts, I thought I could do them. I had things going on and I wasn't able. So my seed starts were a little weak. I should have just checked them, but I tried growing them. And I still got produce. I still got 4 or 5 different types of peppers. I got yellow zucchini, the crookneck. I got tomatoes. I got some little of the baby sugar pumpkins. And I cut
them. Oh, nice.
I also grow sweet potatoes.
In a 5 gallon bucket?
I have a bigger container. The bigger container that's a pot, that's like a decorative pot that's there. It's probably 10? I grew... Okay. And I also grow in my 5 gallon pots. I grow Yukon gold potatoes.
Or the in your red 5 gallon. Now, how do you do that?
You just plant them. You just plant them and they grow. The only thing is, it's like, okay, you got to make sure they're ready, because once you dig that little pot up, you're done. And so I would grow, start them up, do like a little succession of it, and then be very picky when I pulled them up, but I grow them in pot. And then I also will, I've got an asparagus, and it's like in an individual wicking thing. I've got a great big pot and it's set on bottles. They've got air holes in them on the bottom and then water. So it allows water to go up and down with air and stuff. And wow. I grow my asparagus in that.
Oh my gosh. That's wonderful. And when do you get like maybe one meal out of that asparagus, or maybe two meals, one meal?
One to two meals.
One to two meals. Okay. Yeah. But asparagus is such a pretty plant. It looks like it has a really ferny look.
Yes. And I garden more, well, I love getting the produce. I love, going out there and grabbing my greens, and making my smoothie or just sauteing them up. I love going out there and doing that. But I like growing things in a different way. I like to think I'm doing something unique, which probably
it's very unique. I think it's very unique.
I like aesthetically to make it look different. And my bucket systems, I've got 2 20-foot rows. So I've did one short and one higher because the way the sun comes in, the front row is not shading the back row. So I staggered it a little, and I don't have to pull weeds, maybe an off weed every now and then. And
but that would be just something that maybe a bird flew in. I mean, as far as a weed seed, I mean, and I'm thinking, Sue, that you've solved a dilemma that most of us that garden here in the foothills have. And you don't have to worry about gophers.
No, and that's another big thing, because the gophers this last year destroyed my herb bed. I didn't put wire down because for 6 years I've never had a gopher in my backyard. And this year my whole backyard is gophers.
Oh my gosh. And your herb bed, that was in the ground, right?
That was in the ground, and I didn't put wire down. And so now I luckily dug several things up and put them in pots so I can replace them, but I have to dig it all up, chase a little critter out, maybe hit him with a shovel if I'm lucky.
You have to be very lucky.
I know.
But I've got another question for you, Sue. I mean, looking at another picture, and I've got to ask you about your method of growing strawberries.
Oh, I forget the name of the product. I think it's called Grow Light or something. It's on, if you Google places that sell products for growing vegetables, it's a stacking tower. And it has, I think, 8 pockets around the outside. And you put your first pocket down, you fill it with dirt, and you plant it, and you put your next, and they stack. And the way they're built, you water from the top, but the water goes down through the center and through the outside edges, so it waters every layer. And then you just run the water till you see some water coming out the bottom. And they're solid, and mine's what? 5 foot tall, 6 foot tall.
And your tower, right.
And there's like 5 to 8 plants going all the way around, you know, for 6 feet. So I get a lot of strawberries on it, and you don't have to water a lot, because it's plastic and it holds the moisture, because the plant's covering all the dirt.
Right.
And so it's very, I like it. I like it a lot.
And now, just kind of curious, what kind of soil did you use for that? Or does it matter what kind of soil you use?
You just use whatever you want to grow in. I get a bag soil from the local place down here, and it's just whatever soil you like growing in.
So you don't have to have like a special mix or a special something for all that water once you start watering from the top to go down. And like when you're talking now, because I know you said it's really interesting. When your strawberries start producing, I'm trying to figure out how many weeks worth do you get?
I don't know, because my big deal is I munch my way through my garden when I'm doing stuff.
So you're using it as like breakfast, lunch, and maybe snacks here and there.
Yeah. And then if the grandkids come over, that's the first place they head, you know. So, and they're kind of nice because they kind of hang out, you know, like a strawberry pot. They hang out over the edge, you know. And so that's where the kids go. They go out and check the pot out, see if there's anything hanging off there to eat.
That is really something that's a lot of fun, I think. And I know I've seen probably variations, but I have never seen as big a tower as you have. So I'm thinking you really probably grow quite a few strawberries.
Yeah. I do. I'm real happy with the way the strawberries turned out.
Oh, good. And then there's one other thing that you do that I think is so interesting. You do grow fruit trees. And you, now those are in the ground.
They're in the ground. I buy them when they're small. So they're in a pot and I'll up the size of the pot a few times. And then I get a pot I like. And then when it's time to put it in the ground, where I know that's going to be its home forever, I will cut off the bottom of the pot, dig a hole and sink the pot, but leave the pot around it. So when I weed whip or voles or whatever, I've got a little barrier there. And it's also a well for watering.
Right, which is such a great idea. And it's far enough away from the trunk. So we're talking, when I was looking at your fruit trees, there's like no way this fruit tree is ever going to get to the edge of the pot, just because they're a good sized pot. Right.
Yeah. And then I cut the bottom off and all your main roots just go down. So.
Wow. That is really fabulous. That really is. And I was really struck, and you've got one fruit tree that's espaliered on a trellis.
Yes. An apple.
And then what was your other fruit trees?
I've got a dwarf nectarine. I've got an Indian peach, and I've got a persimmon.
Okay. And I should mention to everybody, this is always important for people to consider. You live at about 1,000 foot elevation, right?
1,100.
1,100 foot elevation in San Andreas. And I have to, I'm just so impressed what you've done with your containers in your backyard, because I have to admit, Sue, I think your backyard is fairly small.
It is very small.
But you,
and I've also, and we haven't even mentioned that I've got the watering troughs, the silver watering troughs, 6 foot troughs. And in one of them, I've got my thornless blackberries that I grow vertical.
Oh, that's right.
And then I've got my blueberries.
That's right. That, you know what? We might have to save those two for another day, because I hate to say it, but we did run out of time.
We did.
So Sue, I want to thank you so much. This is really great. And I appreciate you talking about your garden, because it is very unique. So thank you and goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Linda Reevely coming to you from Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UC Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. And today I'm just going to do a short little tiny bit of information for you to consider. I was completely struck by the beauty and versatility of a plant that I had not really paid much attention to before. This plant is the juncus. It's a rush. Rushes normally grow in wet places and they thrive. There are many native ones to California. They thrive in damp spots. They're extremely architectural. They have grass-like foliage, only kind of thick grass-like foliage. And they bear their flowers right up at the tops of stems, right almost even with the top of the foliage from the grasses. A really beautiful rush is the California gray rush, or Juncus patens. This thing is native to California and Oregon. It grows to be 2 feet high and 2 feet wide, with a stiff, upright gray or grayish green stems. It tolerates a lot of heat, and it tolerates drought most effectively, and it thrives in almost any soil or situation, even with very little water. This Carmen's gray is a good gray stemmed selection of juncus, but the other greener juncus is easily every bit as beautiful. There's also one that ends each of its flowering branches with a little curly piece. This is called Juncus effusus spiralis, and it's really cute. You might like it. Thank you.